doing? I'd like to thank you for giving me the privilege of bringing the word today. And I pray that the word I bring would be one that would touch your hearts as it touched mine as I was preparing it. Let us pray. Lord, I thank you for this precious opportunity you have given me this morning, Lord, to bring your word. Lord, I thank you for the people of this church that will let me bring your word here. Lord, I pray with all my heart that the word you put on my heart will be given in a way that would touch some of us, Lord, and would bring you glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You know, the word the Lord put on my heart this morning makes it the hardest sermon I've ever brought. Because the things I'm about to tell you, I've been caught up in midlife most of the summer. But as we'll see, God brought me through this. He brought me through it all. In fact, that's what I'm entitled my sermon, Through It All. I would like to go to the scripture. If you go to Luke chapter 6, starting with verse 46 through the end of through 49. And it's, as you look at this, it's kind of strange. Now we have to see who Jesus is talking to. He's talking to those Pharisees and Sadducees that had seen the miracles. They had seen everything. But yet, they were all wrapped up in their own brand of religion. Because from outward appearances, these look like the holiest of the holy. But that's what Jesus has to say about that. He's talking to them. Starts off with a question. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? Everyone who comes to me and hears my word and acts on them, I will show you whom he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid a foundation on a rock. And when the flood occurred, the torrent burst against the home and could not shake it because it had been well built. But the one who has heard and not acted accordingly is like a man who built a house on the ground without any foundation, and the torrent burst against it, and immediately it collapsed. And the ruin of that house was great. Now, he's using this illustration. It's a pretty simple illustration. When you build a house, you're going to build a foundation, or you should, or it's not going to stand. There are people I know you've seen, and I know Matt being in a construction business, he's seen places that weren't built right. He's probably had to come in and try to repair something that was unrepairable. There was no foundation. There was nothing for him to build on. And then you come in, you have houses that, you know, a house built on a well foundation, a good foundation on the rock, may not look quite as good as that one that was just built in the sand. So appearances are misleading sometimes. Sometimes houses aren't what they appear to be. And unfortunately, what Jesus is talking about here, he's talking about far more than houses. He is talking about our Christian lives. Those of us call ourselves Christians. What do we base our foundation on? Do we base our foundation on, we're just good people? You know, there's an example in the Bible of a good guy. You remember the rich young ruler? He came to Christ, he had a list of stuff. This guy did some good stuff. But when he came to Jesus, he gave Jesus his list of good stuff. And I couldn't even come up to his standards, let alone come close to Jesus' standards. This rich young ruler, by worldly standards, was a pretty good guy. But when he asked Jesus, what must I do to inherit eternal life? The answer he got wasn't what he wanted to hear. He wanted something else to add on his list, just to prove he was a good guy. Well, that's not what Jesus told him. He told him, you sell all your riches and follow me. Now, does that mean that a rich person has to give it? No, it doesn't mean that at all. There's a far deeper meaning in that. It means Jesus knew where the man's heart was. It was not with him. It was with his worldly possessions. There was also another example in the Bible. This guy was a rich guy. He was a very rich guy. Does the Bible say any place that he was a bad guy? Doesn't say that at all. You remember the guy that had all the barns? And he had so many barns. God had blessed him so much. He didn't have room for all his stuff. So he decides in his own mind, in worldly wisdom, if I'm going to keep my stuff under cover, what I'm going to have to do, I'm going to have to tear all my barns. I have to build a bigger one. And then he said, I'm like retirement age. I spent my whole life accumulating wealth. So I'm going to kick back now. I'm going to enjoy the blessings that God gave me. Well, things didn't work out the way he wanted. God said, you fool, this night your soul shall be required of thee. So this guy probably looked like a good guy too. But neither one of those two had built on the foundation of Jesus Christ as Savior. Now, unfortunately, as houses don't look, sometimes what they really are appears, so are people. Sometimes people can look holy. You can think, man, them people got it all going together. They really got it going. But do you notice here? It says, when the storm came, or some verse say, when the flood came. It doesn't say if one comes. It says when one comes. A storm will come in our lives. Some people here, I know that the reason this was the hardest sermon I prepared is because the greatest storm happened to me this year. I can say this is the worst year and the best year of my life. That sounds contradictory, but we'll explain it as it goes along. I had a person, the storm, you had Irma, you had Harvey. Do you notice how many, they give a storm a name all the time. You know, unfortunately, in most people's lives who have been affected, your storm has a name. Your storm has a name. And let me tell you how this sometimes starts. Is how many times have you heard people say, well, I think God wants me to be happy. How many people have you ever heard say that, okay? Now, you hear somebody say that, hang on. They're about to do something really, really stupid. Because what they mean is, what they say is, I think God wants me to be happy. What they mean is, I'm going to be happy, I don't care what God thinks, is what they really mean. That's how it comes out. Okay, now, if you've ever said that yourself, you know, no one says that, stop and think about it. If the God you serve doesn't mind you causing havoc, grief, tears, and tearing families apart, and so you could be happy, if that's the God you're serving, you better check which God you're serving, because Jesus Christ does not do that. Jesus Christ never sends somebody out to seek happiness to destroy other people's lives. He doesn't do that. So if you think your God does, you're serving the wrong God. Because he's talking to the Pharisees and says, he looked right at them and he said, you of your father the devil, and the works of your father you will do. So people that do that are working for the devil. They are not working for Jesus Christ. I don't care what they tell you. The storm in my life this year came by somebody wanting to be happy. Somebody wanted to be happy. It caused havoc in three families. It caused tears. I'm talking about for me. It cost money. It cost heartbreak. It cost more than I ever thought it could cost. Okay? Now, I went with Pastor Larry, some other Jim McVeer, and people talked to me and stuff. But just nothing was working. I knew how I should feel, but for some reason I couldn't feel that way. So, did you ever ask Jesus something stupid? Anybody ever ask Jesus something stupid? I said, Jesus, do you have any idea what it's like to have someone you love and thought loved you tear your heart up? Do you have any idea what that's like? Kind of stupid question, huh? So Jesus says, well, you know, he says in most cases, a lot of cases, you know, I would send Adrian Rogers to help you out, or I would send Jim and Barb, or I would send somebody, but he said, boy, you're in a real mess. I got to take care of this myself. So Jesus came, and he said, your faith is being tested. But he said, don't worry about it, because this is going to be an open book test. And I am going to be your tutor. I am going to go through this with you. He says, now you kind of mentioned to me that you had some heartache. You were rejected by someone you love. We said, let's look in the scriptures to see if I might know a little bit about that. He said, I left heaven. I came to my own, and my own rejected me. He said, so do I know what it's like to be rejected? He said, let's search some more in the scriptures. He said, I'll come. He said, he was talking about the Jewish people at that time. They rejected him. He is not the Christ they wanted. So they're going to go on with their own man-made religion. He said, let's get a little closer to home now. He said, Peter, he denied me. One of my closest associates, Peter, denied me. Judas, who was one of the 12, who saw all the miracles, he betrayed me. He said, even after the disciples saw all the miracles, they saw the sick healed, they saw the dead raised, they saw people fed. At the end, after my death, burial, and resurrection, Thomas doubted me. He said, so you think I might know a little bit about being hurt by ones that are close to you? See, I know. So then he said, you know, because I lost enough weight I could do Jenny Craig commercial. You know, I couldn't eat. What had happened to me psychologically had affected me tremendously physically. So, it went on. Jesus said, you lost some weight. He said, let's search the scriptures. He said, you remember, I went 40 days without eating one time. I've been there. So then, we get down. And I said, the amount of tears are great. You would never believe that you can just start crying in the middle of nothing. Ever happened to anybody? Your heart's been broken so bad. There seems to be no reason for what's going on outside of you're not in control anymore. Jesus shed some tears. He said, I wept over Jerusalem. I left heaven. I was what came down to die for their sins, that through me they would have eternal life. They reject me. He said, I looked down on Jerusalem and I cried. Remember when I cried over Jerusalem? He said, yeah. I said, the stress that I have, Lord, there's so much stress I can't even think straight. He said, well, let's talk about that stress a little bit. He said, you remember in the Garden of Gethsemane? I was under such stress, not only didn't I sleep, I sweat drops of blood from stress because I knew what I had to do. I knew what I was going to do. And yet those I brought with me, they didn't have stress. They couldn't even stay awake. While I was praying on their behalf, they were sound asleep. It seemed like they didn't care. But I prayed anyway. He said, when I went to the cross, all those who said they loved me, except for John, abandoned me. And when I needed them to be with me, and when they needed to be with me, they were gone. Yet these are the ones whom I loved and I thought loved me. So do I know about stress? Do I know about being abandoned? Yeah, Randy, I know something about that. Now Jesus said, you have two things going on. We're going to work on that. He said, you have a problem and a situation. Don't get them mixed up. One is separate from the other. He said, the problem you have is you. I was the problem. When I say was, Jesus took care of that. He fixed my problem. Jesus looked at my heart and he said, I see three things in there I don't like. They don't belong here. We got to get them out of there. He looked, he said, I see some anger. He said, anger shouldn't be there. You could be hurt, but you shouldn't be angry. He said, I see some revenge in there. You want to hurt this person like they hurt you. He said, that's not right, and I won't tolerate it in your heart. We got to get rid of it. Then he said, I see some self-righteousness rising up in you. He said, that can't be. He said, you are no better than the person who hurt you. You have called me to come alongside of you. And I am willing to do that. But first, we have to take care of your problem. Then we can talk about your situation. He said, I'll fix your problem. I cannot fix the situation at this time. He is going to work out the way he wants to. But the way the situation worked out, not the way I would have to work out. But God let me know. The situation is not my concern. My concern is getting right with God. Because if I don't get right with God, it doesn't matter about the situation. So, you know, that was some of the worst things that went through. And I know there's some people in here, they have gone through some similar situations. There's other situations you have. I'm sure that everybody in here, one time or another, felt like your heart's been torn out. I know that. Why do I know that? Because you're human. That's why I know that. You know, I had the honor and privilege of speaking in another church for the last couple of weeks. Those people up there, most of them are going through a storm of some kind of their own. Too many times as God's people, we do what I did. We want to blame other people. We want to run from the situation. We want to pretend it didn't happen. And we're not happy when things don't turn out the way we do. But in every situation, God must do with you what he did with me. He must get my heart right. If I don't let God fix me, I certainly can't fix anything. I need to open up my heart to God. Do you know how hard it is to admit that you're not only is the other person not the person you thought they were, when God reveals to you, you're not the person he wants you to be. When God reveals to you your flaws, what do we do? Do we ask forgiveness or we tell God, hey, that's the way I am, you got to live with that? You know, we need to open up our hearts to Jesus Christ, our Savior, that he might come alongside of us. See, Jesus doesn't send you through anything. He goes through it with you. Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego went through the fire. Where was Jesus on the outside saying, come on, all right, guys, nothing happened? No, he was in the fire with them. Daniel in the lion's den. Was he outside the lion's den and saying, man, I hope that lion don't eat David, or doesn't eat Daniel, I really like that guy. No. He was in the lion's den with Daniel. He didn't bring those guys and you and I. He does not bring us out of a storm. He brings us through the storm. Jesus Christ knows every emotion I suffered. Jesus Christ was through it all. Jesus dried up my tears. Jesus fixed my heart. And Jesus said, when I said, well, it costs enough money, I could have bought a good used car. Jesus said, it cost you some money. He said, it cost me my life. You know, so anything that I went through can't even compare with the things that Jesus Christ has gone through. So when I go to Jesus Christ, when you and I, don't let us ever forget. When we go to Jesus Christ, we're not bringing up something new to him. There's no amount of hurt that I suffered. Jesus hasn't suffered worse. There's no amount of rejection that I felt that Jesus hasn't felt a thousand times over. Now, the thing, we started off, you know, Jesus said, as is our Bible, or my test started, he said, Do you remember the two great commandments? I said, well, I certainly do. He said, what's the first one? He says, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your spirit. And he said, what's the second one? Well, I said, I am to love my neighbor as myself. He said, yes. He said, do you love me? I said, God, how could I not love you? You left heaven. You took on my sin. You nailed him to the cross. You were dead. You were buried for my sins and resurrected for that I might have eternal life with you. Yes, I love you. He said, well, he said, how you respond to the second one is going to let me know if you actually meant what you said in the first one. I said, God, we got a problem. Do you know how much I love me? He said, now we're getting somewhere. Now we're getting somewhere. So if I wouldn't wish for bad things to come on myself, I have no right to wish for bad things to come on those that hurt me. I don't have that right. So, you know, I have to, Jesus said, you got to remember one thing. Those that said they love me rejected me. Those that said they love me abandoned me. Those that I came to die for had me nailed to a cross. He said, you know what I could have done, but remember what I did do. I looked down from that cross and I said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Those people hurt me. They hurt me physically. They hurt me emotionally. They tore my heart up, just like this person. But you remember what I said. Love thy neighbor as thyself. And you don't get to pick who your neighbor is. God told me, you remember. Remember yourself for a while. How long did you reject me before you came to me? Did I cut you off when you wouldn't have anything to do with me? No. He said, I sent people into your life over and over and over again. Finally, one time, I was able to send the right man in, and the things that you knew, because I knew a lot of scripture. I could quote more scripture before I was saved than most people could quote after they're saved. So I had my own brand of self-righteousness going on. God said, do you remember how long it took me to break through that shell that you had set up? And I remembered. Jesus said, do you think it didn't hurt me when I sent for you and you wouldn't come? Don't you think that hurt me? And I realized that it did. I realized that I was as big a sinner as the one that I was griping about. The one I was wanting to take vengeance on, the one I wanted to get even with. Because God loves that person just as much as he loves me. And the children's sermon this morning, how many times to forgive? You know, that's easy to say. Very. You know how hard that is to do? Do you have anybody in here have someone that has taken them a long, long time to forgive? I think we all have at one time or another. I really do. They've hurt us. Now, people say forgive and forget. For you and I, that's not possible. But for God, it is. For God, it is. Because if I don't forgive someone who's done me wrong, I don't have the right to call myself a Christian. Because what's the Bible tell me to do? Forgive others. I'll be forgiven when I forgive others that trespass me. I can't say, God, you have to forgive me, but I am not going to forgive that person. That is not what the scripture says. That is not what I can let myself become. I must forgive others. Is it easy to forgive others? Absolutely not. You know, and sometimes we want our problem taken care of quickly. I situation, because God already took care of my problem. We want the situation taken care of quickly. Well, most of the times, these situations were years in the development. They didn't happen overnight, and they are not going to be cleared up overnight. And no matter what the situation is, that's not my problem. Before God got my heart right, I had things all mixed up. Once God got my heart right, you know, I got some joy. I got the joy back in my life. I can honestly tell you right now that this is the worst summer I ever had as far as the storm I went through. But I can tell you with all my heart, this is the most joy I've ever had in my life. That comes in the second part of the sermon. Remember I told you this was the worst year of my life? And that's the fact. I have never had anything affect me. My heart attack was a picnic compared to what happened. You know, I've had broken bones and stuff. Absolutely nothing affected me like this storm that came in my life. But I had the greatest physician to heal this that I ever had. Because when I had my heart attack, that was a heart problem. But the heart problem I had now was far greater than that heart attack. Jesus fixed my heart. Now I can look at things a little bit differently. Jesus said, you know, there was a couple of things that Jesus told me. Now, this person, my storm has a name. They will go unnamed, but they have a name. God told me two things now. One, this storm in my life is going through some very bad times. This person that sought happiness is probably the most unhappy person that I know. God said, I am going to let you witness that. But he says, one thing I forbid you to do. You're not permitted to take joy in it. Whatever happens to this person is between me and them. You are not to wish bad things happen to them. You are not to take joy when bad things happen to them. You are to pray for them. Do you know how hard it is? Whenever somebody hurt you so severely, how hard it is to pray for them? I mean, maybe you don't have a problem, but I had a problem with that. When God got my heart fixed, I'm able to do that. My prayer would be that this person come to Jesus Christ, totally repent, and go to heaven. Now, the pastor knows, and I know Jim knows. You know, it wasn't that long ago, people told me that. And I said, you've got to be kidding me. You can't be serious. But that's where God fixed my heart. Once God fixed my heart, I am starting to see things the way Jesus sees them. I have a love in my heart that I never had before. I have drawn closer to Jesus Christ than I ever have been before. Jesus Christ proved to me that the things in these scriptures are true. They're more than just verses we read. They're just more than verses we recite. They are living. Jesus Christ explained to me. He didn't come down and say, Randy, let's play Bible trivia. Let's see who knows more verses. Well, I can't win that one. He didn't just tell me scripture. He explained scripture to me. He made me have an understanding of the things he said. You remember after the resurrection on the road to Emmaus, he was talking to those guys, and what did it say? He explains the scriptures to them, and what did they say? Oh, how our hearts burned within us. Because, not because they knew scripture, it's because Jesus Christ took the time to explain the scriptures to them. That everything he said in here is true. That no amount of trials, no amount of tribulation could stop his love for you and I. He explained to them that he is the Messiah. He was the one who was called for. And all we have to do is call on his name. He will come. You call Jesus, you don't get no busy signal. You don't get no call waiting. Jesus will talk to you any time of the day or night. Jesus understands every situation that we're in. Jesus has been through every situation. He wants us, most of the problems that I've had in my life, Jesus explained to me. I've had a lot of situations in my life. I've had one continuing problem in my life. The one problem I have is not the situation. It is how my heart is dealing with that situation. It is how my heart is toward others. And others need to see me the way Jesus wants to see me and not the way sometimes I want to be. Does anybody here ever have the... I'm going to say the misfortune. The old man want to rise up in you. Remember it says, when a man comes in Christ, all things become new. Old things are cast away. All things become new. Well, the unfortunate part about the old man is he didn't die. He's out there lurking. If we are not careful, he'll come back home. He'll come back home. Through the power of the Holy Spirit is the only way you and I can get right with the Lord. Through the power of the Holy Spirit is the only way we can stay right with the Lord. Now, the Lord is, you know, Lord's got a sense of humor even in a storm. Because as I was going through this, the Lord knows that I talk to him a lot when I'm cutting grass. I'm on a tractor on the zero turn. So the Lord told me, he said, Randy, I'm going to do you a favor. I'm going to give you a lot of grass to cut because you are closer to me. You are closer to me when you're on that tractor on it than any time else. So you and I need to do a lot of talking. So he did. He kept his promise. I had a lot of grass to cut this year. But God was looking out for me. God also said that, I tell you what I'm going to do. You're in the midst of a storm. You're at your weakest point. But I'm going to show my strength in your weakness. I'm going to do that. I said, how are you going to do that? He said, in the midst of your storm, I'm going to send you out to talk to people in the midst of their storms. And he did. God never let me sit at home and feel sorry for myself. God did not feel sorry for me. There was not one time God felt sorry for me. God was disappointed in me. How I could let a problem overcome the glory that he had for me, overcome my joy. God said, now we're just not going to do this. This is not going to happen. I am going to send you out in the midst, even though you're having a problem. People are going to see my glory because you're so weak. And God permitted me to bring a message at a couple other churches. And people are hurting there. They're hurting there. But that's what God had me. He let me bring a sermon here. He lets me be a Sunday school teacher. He lets me reach out to people. And God, I was telling Sunday school class this morning, but through all this, through all the glory that I have, through Jesus Christ, the glory I bring him, God wants to keep me humble because if I let my joy get ahead of itself, I become a prideful man. I was telling a Sunday school class this morning, I said, you know, God in his wisdom has given men wives to keep them humble. I believe that a godly wife will keep a man humble because, you know, I was able to bring a sermon the week before last time at that church down in Chester, and I couldn't believe it. They asked me to bring one last week, so I was able to bring it again. And then the missus was with me last week when we were down there, and they had asked me to bring it this week. Well, the pastor and I talked, and I have to, it's an honor to go out, but my responsibilities are here. But on the way home, I asked the missus, I said, do you suppose I'm so good those people keep asking me back? She said, I doubt it. They probably just can't get nobody else. Yeah, so we have to give God the glory. We have to submit our hearts to him. We have to be willing to do what he says. We need to, with a joyful heart, go out into this world. No matter how much misery Satan is bringing, God overcomes that with joy. We need to let that happen. And did Jesus dry up my tears? Yes, he did. How did he go? He went through that with me. Did Jesus heal my heart? Yes, he did. Because he knows what a broken heart feels like. Did Jesus take care of my self-pity? Yes, he did. He called me on it. Did Jesus Christ come alongside me when I needed him the worst? Yes, he did. And the situation is still the same as it was. But my heart's not. Jesus fixed my problem. My problem was me. My problem was there's some things got into my heart that should not have been there, and because I am the Son of the living God, I am one of His children, He will not tolerate things in me He did not put there. Jesus Christ came along. He went through it all. He went through it all Himself. Then He went through it all with me. And what Jesus did for me, He'll do for you. Remember that song? What He's done for others, He'll do for you. It is no secret going through. What He's done for others, He'll do for you. I can honestly say that and say that. But as Christian people, we need to sing, it is a secret what God can do, because what He's done for me, I ain't telling you, you know. We need to tell people what Jesus Christ has done in our life. We need to be a living example of the living God. We need to let other people's problems become our problems. We need to be the people that God called us to be. The only way we can do that is totally surrender our lives to Jesus Christ and be willing to be used in the way He would have us to be used. You know, in the conclusion of this sermon, I was just like, if there's anybody out there with a broken heart, if there's anybody out there that's feeling despair, if there's anybody out there that's feeling rejection, if there's anybody out there that's crying tears, if there's anybody out there that needs Jesus Christ, do yourself a favor. Ask Him. Jesus will come to you. And as the praise band gets ready to play our hymn of invitation, think about what I said. Has anything in the sermon applied to you? Has anything, can you relate to anything? But one thing I can attest to you, Jesus Christ will go through it all with you. Surrender yourself to Jesus. Don't fight Him. For so many in this problem, you know, I fought Jesus before I surrendered because I want to do things my way. Jesus Christ fixed my heart. And when you asked me how I'm doing? I'm doing anybody you know? Hey, I got my joy back. You have no idea how I'm doing now. Let us close the prayer. Lord, I thank You that You permitted me to bring this message. Lord, I pray that I got it out the way You have it. Lord, You have touched my heart. There are no words to describe what You have done for me. Lord, I pray that You would touch someone else, Lord. That someone has a problem would surrender to You, Lord. Because what You have done for me, You will do for them. These things I ask in Jesus' name. Amen.